I encourage you to open your Bible to the book of Acts, chapter 2. Acts, the second chapter. This is the third of numerous Sundays we will turn to Acts, chapter 2. In this particular narrative, we find the historically true account of what we call the Day of Pentecost. The arrival of the Holy Spirit to fill the people of God that they might be bold witnesses for Jesus. And it's at Pentecost that the church is created in a most visible and astonishing manner. And I am hoping and praying for great consequence for our own church as we look at the original church, the church in her infancy. The church in her purity, the very first church. Now, last Sunday, we looked at Acts 2, verses 1 through 13. But there's a statement in verse 4 about the filling of the Holy Spirit that I promised to return to this morning. And the title of our sermon is Being Filled with the Spirit, or the command, be filled with the Spirit. And I would like for us to read, for the sake of context and flow, Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place. And suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues as a fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in the tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Pentecost is an extraordinary day. It is the arrival of the Holy Spirit. As we saw last Sunday, they heard the sound of a mighty rushing wind. They saw tongues of fire resting upon all who were gathered, a total of 120 believers. And we looked back into the Old Testament and discerned how the sound of a mighty wind and the sight of fire are symbols of the presence of God Himself. And so by means of these sounds and sights, we are to understand that the Holy Spirit has arrived, that He is ushering in what we call the age of the Spirit, the age of gospel proclamation. And what especially concerns us this morning is that all of these believers were filled with the Holy Spirit. It is crucial for us to remember that it is believers who are actually filled with the Spirit. Their number is 120 in total, as we are told in the first chapter of Acts. They are all together, and they are truly believers. What this means is that they have embraced the cross of Jesus and His resurrection. They believe that Jesus died on the cross to secure their eternal redemption, their total forgiveness, so that they are saved fully and finally to the uttermost. They believe the gospel. They believe the cross. They believe the resurrection. But the reason they're not out telling others about that gospel reality is because they had been commanded by Jesus to wait for the arrival of the Holy Spirit. For example, in Luke's Gospel, chapter 24, in verse 49, we are told that Jesus told them to wait for the fulfillment of the Father's gift, that they were to wait in the city of Jerusalem until they had been clothed with power from on high. Then, in the beginning of the book of Acts, chapter 1, verse 8, they are to wait until they have received power from the Holy Spirit to be witnesses of the gospel in Judea, Samaria, and indeed to the ends of the earth. So what happens at Pentecost is that the early believers, in being filled with the Holy Spirit, receive what Jesus called the promise and the gift of the Father. They receive power from on high. The Holy Spirit empowers them for witness and for bold proclamation. And so what happens on the day of Pentecost ought to be obvious. These believers, verse 4, they are all filled with the Holy Spirit, not some of them, not the apostles only, but every single one of the 120 is filled with the Holy Spirit, and they begin to speak in tongues. And this gift of tongues is especially identified in verses 6 and 11 as the ability to speak the languages of all the languages of people who were there in Jerusalem on that particular day. So that the crowd began to say, "We are hearing the gospel in our own native tongue." That promise does not extend beyond Pentecost. One reason we know that is that our missionaries today are required to go to language school so they can preach the gospel in a native tongue. But what does abide is the fullness of the Holy Spirit for us to be bold witnesses. And that's the theme for the hour. The fullness of the Holy Spirit creates bold gospel witnesses. That's what I hope we will see today. And the first big truth I hope we will especially grasp is that all believers are commanded to be filled with the Spirit. This is not found in the second chapter of Acts so far as a command is concerned. But the command to be filled with the Spirit is given in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18, where we clearly read, "Be filled with the Spirit." That command is found in a list of commandments where we are being called to live a life of wisdom as we pursue a life of holiness. And the great command in that list is that we are to be a people filled with the Holy Spirit. Essentially, what this means is that the experience of those first believers at Pentecost, all of them were filled with the Spirit, is a reality that is commanded of us. Be filled with the Spirit. But what does that mean? Well, before I prove the definition, let me define it for you. To be filled with the Spirit is to be controlled by the Spirit. It is to live under the influence of the Spirit. It is to submit to the sovereign sway of the Spirit. It is to be empowered by the Spirit. A person, a believer, is filled with the Holy Spirit when we yield every area of our lives to the sovereignty and to the control of the Holy Spirit. What this means in practical terms is that when Paul uses the word filled, he is not thinking about how a cup can be filled with coffee, nor is he thinking about how a tank on your car can be filled with gasoline. Instead, he is using the word filled to mean to be controlled by. And this is not at all difficult to understand. In fact, it is the way we sometimes use the words full or filled in our own daily conversation. For example, you might say, that kid is filled with mischief. Or you might say, Alex is full of worry. Or Betsy is filled with anxiety and fear. Or Bill is filled with sorrow. What we essentially mean when we say or use that kind of language is that the controlling experience or the controlling emotion has so gripped that person's life that it dominates that person. Betsy is filled with fear. Means fear is the defining, controlling, dominating power. Alex is filled with worry. Means that worry has a monopoly over his life. He is controlled by it. Another way, and perhaps a more positive way to illustrate this meaning of filled or fullness as control, is to think of the book of Philippians. It consists of only 104 verses. And at the same time, there are 21 direct references and statement that use joy or rejoicing in the Lord. So you might say the theme that monopolizes Philippians is joy and rejoicing in the Lord. Every single paragraph is devoted to that theme so that Philippians is controlled by the virtue of joy. Philippians, you want to know the joyous life of the Christian? It is filled with joy, Philippians. That is. And that's essentially what it means to be filled with the Spirit. It means the sovereign Spirit has sway over your life. He is to monopolize every area of your life. There's no area of your life where you are free to hang over it a sign, stay away, Holy Spirit. That would be the height of foolishness. We are to yield the control of our lives to the Holy Spirit. And again, I just want to remind you that when Paul says be filled with the Spirit, he is actually issuing a command we are to conform to. Take, for example, the commands to love and to worship. Holy Scripture tells us that we are to love one another fervently and from the heart. It equally commands us to worship the Lord our God with reverence and with awe. These are commands. We know we are to obey these commands every single day. It's never right to not love. It's never right to withhold worship. And the verb here in Paul's statement, be filled with the Spirit, is an imperative. It's a command. And it's in the present tense. That is huge. When he says be filled with the Holy Spirit, he is not referring to a single event that happens and we never need to worry about it again. It is in the present tense. It means go on being filled. Be continually filled. Keep on being filled. Like you have to love each other every day and like we should worship God every day be filled with the Holy Spirit. Yield to His sovereign and sweet control over your life. Back in the 19th century, a group of pastors gathered together for the purpose of planning an evangelistic crusade to take place in one of our large American cities. In the course of their planning, they began to talk about who they might invite to be the preacher, to be the evangelist, to be the one who would deliver the evangelistic gospel. And one of the men present there, one of the pastors, suggested that the committee invite D.L. Moody. And D.L. Moody was the Billy Graham of his day. He preached all over our country. Many came to faith in Christ. He preached boldly and compassionately. And he even preached in many parts of the world all those many years ago. But there was one minister who kind of rejected the idea of inviting Moody. And he simply asked the question, D.L. Moody, does he have a monopoly on the Holy Spirit? Simply saying, aren't there others that we can invite and not just the famous evangelist? And a sort of silence fell over the room. And finally, one of the ministers asked a question. D.L. Moody, does he have a monopoly on the Holy Spirit? And then he answered his own question. No. But the Holy Spirit has a monopoly on D.L. Moody. That's what it means to be filled with the Spirit. For the word monopoly means the dominating power, the controlling authority. And we are to yield every day to the Holy Spirit, to His sway over us, to depend on Him, to empower us, to live for Him, and to speak for Him. Are you filled with the Spirit? Do you want Him in the driver's seat of your life? Do you long for His sovereignty? That God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit would be the controlling authority in your life. Are you filled with the Spirit? So that's the first half of the truth. To be filled with the Spirit is utterly necessary for the sake of witness and for the sake of boldness in witness. So we've established that we're commanded to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Now what I want you to see is that in Acts, in the book of Acts, the Spirit's fullness is always connected to boldness in witness. We not only see that on the day of Pentecost, we see it repeatedly in the Acts of the Apostles. For example, in Acts chapter 4, verse 8, we read, "Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them," he's filled with the Holy Spirit, and what follows, which will ultimately lead to persecution, is that he preaches boldly the gospel. At the end of chapter 4, verse 31, "And when they had prayed, the place in which they were gathered together was shaken. And the shaking of this physical place is a symbol of the approval and the presence of the Holy Spirit." But notice what happens at the end of the verse. "And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and continued to speak the word of God with boldness." Do you see it? They were filled with the Holy Spirit, and as a result of that, they continued. They were faithful. They were devoted to speaking the Word of God, the gospel, with boldness. Don't forget the truth I'm trying to highlight here, that the fruit of the Spirit's fullness is boldness and witness. And so we read in Acts chapter 6, verse 5, they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit. They could not withstand the wisdom and the spirit with which he spoke. This man is filled with the Spirit. And the people could not withstand. They could not overcome in their own thinking the profound wisdom and boldness granted to him by the Holy Spirit. And then in chapter 11, verse 24, Barnabas was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith, and a great many people were added to the Lord. Barnabas preaches, filled with the Spirit, and preaches boldly if you read the chapter, and the result is many are added to the Lord. People come to faith in Christ. In the last verse in the book of Acts, we are told, in Acts chapter 13, verse 9, we are told, but Saul, who was also called Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit, looked intently at him and said, and if you read what he said, my, oh my, was it courageous. So I think you can see, and hopefully clearly, that there is a vital and inseparable connection between the fullness of the Holy Spirit and boldness in witness. Simply put, the fruit of the Spirit's fullness is boldness. That when we yield to the Holy Spirit control over our daily lives, we should not be surprised if we find ourselves in a situation where he gives us boldness to speak the gospel. That's exactly what happened on Pentecost Day. 120 people knew the risen and crucified Lord Jesus and loved him. 120 people were waiting on the promise of the arrival of the Holy Spirit because 120 believers knew the Great Commission that Jesus had said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. But wait for power from on high. And on those 120 believers, the Holy Spirit fell and filled them. And throughout the book of Acts, we see the advance of the gospel through their Spirit-filled bold witness. But let's stop for a moment here and ask the question, okay, but what is boldness? Well, boldness is not harshness. It isn't rudeness. It is not a zeal for the Lord minus compassion. Boldness is rather courage mixed with compassion. It is a refusal to be ashamed of Jesus. It is a refusal to compromise the gospel. It is a deep burden for unsaved people to hear and embrace the gospel, even if adverse consequences or persecution is the result of our witness. Let me take you on another tour through the book of Acts, a brief one, to show you how critical boldness actually is. In Antioch Pisidia, Paul and Barnabas, quote, spoke out boldly when the Jews reviled them. In Iconium, they were also vigorously opposed. So, quote, they remained for a long time speaking boldly for the Lord. In Ephesus, Apollos spoke, quote, boldly in the synagogue. In Ephesus again, Paul taught in the synagogue and for 3 months spoke boldly, reasoning and persuading them about the gospel. In Caesarea, when Paul was in prison, he spoke boldly to King Agrippa. And the very last thing we know about Paul is that while he was under house arrest at Rome, he went on, quote, proclaiming the kingdom of God and teaching about the Lord Jesus Christ with all boldness and without hindrance. And what's astonishing about that statement is that it is the very last verse in Acts. And all the commentaries over the years have acknowledged that the book of Acts does not come to a really good ending. It just stops abruptly. And I think the reason for that is that the book of Acts has actually not ended. Pentecost continues today. We are living in Acts 29. Where you can be filled with the Holy Spirit so that you might boldly live and speak for Christ. Over the past couple of years, I've handed it out, posted it a few times, encouraging all of us to pray similar to how John Stott used to start his day. You remember, Heavenly Father, I ask that this day you will help me to live in your presence and please you more and more. Lord Jesus, help me this day to take up my cross and faithfully follow you. But when he came to the Holy Spirit, he said, Holy Spirit, fill me with the fullness of yourself today and ripen your sweet fruit in my life. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. That brings us to the very last point that I want to make. We are filled with the Spirit that we might be bold witnesses. And for that reason, we ought to pray that we would be filled with the Spirit for the sake of boldness. I know no place where the fullness of the Holy Spirit and boldness and witness can be cultivated more than when it is mixed with our prayer lives. And I think I can prove it from Scripture. In Luke 11, verse 13, Jesus said, ask of the Father, and he will give you the Holy Spirit. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 19, Paul asked for prayer for himself, that he would be given words to proclaim the mysteries of the gospel with boldness. Another version reads, fearlessly. We ought to ask the Father for the Holy Spirit. Fill us, Holy Spirit. Help me today to live under your sway. Take a monopoly over my life. I yield to you, O Holy Spirit. Help me to stay yielded. And give me boldness that I may speak the gospel as I ought to speak it. They say it's not wise to end a sermon with a quote. I would like to end the sermon with a quote because it underscores that what should never matter to us, while foolishness is wrong, our safety is not a priority. And so Al Mohler writes, we should never fear opposition to the extent that we prioritize our personal security above the mission of spreading the gospel. Do we believe that? We should never fear opposition to the extent that we prioritize our personal security above the mission of spreading the gospel. We must pray. We must ask God, as the early church did, to give us the strength needed to endure the dangers that come with faithful gospel ministry. Our witness matters more than our safety. We must respond with asking for the fullness of the Holy Spirit that we might proclaim undauntedly the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Holy and Heavenly Father, for the glory of the gospel of Jesus Christ, fill us with the Holy Spirit. Cause us to believe that it's unthinkable to go out into the world and not love each other, to go out into the world not worshiping God, and to go out into the world not filled with the Holy Spirit. Help us be sensitive. Give us the spiritual want to, the inclination of heart, to yield to the Spirit, to submit to His Lordship, to depend on His empowering for boldness in how we live every day, so that the world will believe that the gospel is valid. And then to speak that gospel with boldness. If necessary, sacrificing our safety. Rescue us, O Lord, by helping us die to self and be filled with the Spirit, that You might get many more worshipers of Jesus through us. Give us Pentecostal power, the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.